hand clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I always try to do something to break the ice in the room. And if you guys haven't yet thought of Christmas for Christ, this could be my icebreaker. During the week, I kept thinking, I wonder what this month's going to be like for me. I don't know what it's going to be like for you. Some don't participate at all. Some do participate 110%. And some of us just kind of go through the motions and we try. Regardless, please try this month to fast. And if you do so, there'll be a cost savings in your life. I averaged it out. I tried to be gluttonous. Then I tried to be real conservative. Then I tried to be, well, I don't go to Starbucks every day. Some do. Some like McDonald's coffee. Some whatever, Mountain Dew, big gulps. If you average it out, you're probably going to save $5 a day this month. Just throwing it out there. Because I want this to be the icebreaker. Because I really love to see, personally, all the envelopes go away and come back with money in them. So, Brother Keith, where you get them numbers from? Just, you know your lifestyle, you know your habits, you know your ways better than I. I just penciled it out, and I think I'm going to be by the $5. I do like to eat out. There's no better food than sun-cooked food, which we'll be eating lots of. It is expensive if you want the good stuff, and I do suggest get the good stuff because it makes it a whole lot easier eating stuff you don't like. So get the good stuff. It's only for a month. But on an average, $150 this month. Go back home and play with the numbers yourself. Saying that in advance, if you haven't got one yet, you probably could pick, looking at some of the numbers, you probably make two, three, or four if you're going to give that $150 back to God. Amen? Free plug for the offering. Sheep life. Title of my message. How many of you ever listen to preaching to the extent that of, and I was so proud that Brother David came back and told me, young people that went to HYC, I have generated a group of people that take notes. You know, when you're so close to people, you don't get to see. I'm a note taker because, honestly, we come to church every bit of 12 times a month, and I can't remember 12 services all the time. I like to at least get the nuggets out of them for myself. So I'll take a note. If you see me playing with the phone, if you see me, it's usually notes. I'm not Facebooking for sure, and I'm not texting during church for sure. Probably taking a note. If you see me with my paper and pencil, I'm taking a note. Just to remember, Brother David said that at HYC, note-taking was real popular, and he was so embarrassed because he didn't have his notepad, but all my babies did. So if you like to take notes and follow along, do take notes in service. However, when you hear Jesus, the Lamb of God, what do you think of? I've gone for years, I've been this over 20-something years, and I've just had my eyes open again and again, reading the same scriptures over and over. Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taking away the sins of the whole world. We're often typed and shadowed as sheep. Does this sound cool, does it? Most of our congregation now are not shepherds for a living. But in some cultures, we could probably be up here talking about sheep, and boy, I'd get all kind of hands raised about sheep. And I really got intrigued here recently around Thanksgiving about the subject again. The title the guy did teach on was being about being lost. This is not being about being lost. This is just about being sheep. A male sheep. Facts. Anybody? Anybody knows what a male sheep is called? Thank you so much. We got a Rams fan. What's a girl? What's a woman sheep called? You. And what's a baby? A lamb. Some people don't know that. I can't believe it. I did it in youth class the other day when I was practicing. Like, there's a name for them? Yeah. Not all sheep have horns either, by the way. I didn't know that. Today, we've grafted over 860-plus breeds of sheep in the world. Some people really rely on sheep a whole lot more than we do. We don't even use it down here because we live in Florida. If you got on wool today, that's Shocking. If you're from up north, you remember your wool sweater and your wool clothing. Amen. All came from sheep. Cool facts about sheep. Strengths. Sheep have good hearing. They have excellent peripheral vision. They can actually see behind them when they're looking forward. And if you ever get close to sheep, those eyes don't look like they do a whole lot, do they? But they actually can see behind them. They have an excellent sense of smell. Sheep tails point down. Very humble animal. Not out there real proud, bucking and kicking like a lot of animals, but the sheep's tail points down. Rams, the males, depending on what type of sheep, they could have horns or not. But as Sister Jessica said, they all have hard heads. Those of you that ever been by sheep with no horns, he's coming at you with his head. He's hard-headed. They're very gentle animals. They eat all day. Sound like some of us. Amen. They eat all day, but they don't eat at night. Oops. One thing about sheep, according to Scripture, they know their shepherd. And the stranger, they're not going to follow. Isn't that something? I thought it was really cool because I've never been around animals like that, but their distinct sense of hearing and figuring out who's leading the pack. Weakness is the, again, this is thus saith Brother Keith. They die early. They don't live long. The major cause of death is they lose their front teeth. And they can't eat like they're supposed to. They don't like shadows. They like to be in well-lit areas. Sounds like us, don't it? They really don't like the night. They don't do well in darkness at all. They get real skittish. They get really upset real quick. They have no defense mechanisms like most predators do. No fangs. No bark. No growl. They don't bow up. They don't stand up on their hind legs and bring it on. Some of us think we're like that, don't we? But according to Scripture, you're just a sheep. As much as you may think otherwise, you're still a sheep. Some even scream. 3 points I'd like to make about in the sheep's life. First of all, I want to bring out that Jesus was the Lamb of God. In Jesus' life, he was the highest calling lamb there was because he was the ultimate sacrifice. He had no spots, wrinkles, or blemishes. If we were keepers of sheep, we would always have to remember one of our sheep would have to be ready for a sacrifice at all times. So the sheep that you would pick, if you raised them, you paid the most attention to it. You examined it all the time. Because if it was going to have a fault, you had to go find another one in time for sacrifice. Y'all know those stories from church, amen? They're checking the details, looking in the animal's hair is like a show for animals, a dog show. But you had to conduct it yourself. If a sheep was raised or a lamb was raised close to you, it almost became a pet, I would think. How many of y'all were raised on the farm? Wow, got a third of us in the adult class. How many of y'all spent hours and hours with an animal? And how many of y'all ate it? Oh, man. I remember this one story I was going to share with you guys. I raised lots of animals with my aunts and uncles. And I was probably about 13, 14 years old where I realized where they went when they were missing. I was like, they never let me in the yard. We had animals everywhere. Once upon a time was this duck. I think I've mentioned it before. The duck made it to the table for Thanksgiving. And all my friends said, where's that duck of yours? And my aunt just kind of went. But a lamb that you were going to sacrifice, the lamb became part of the family. It was kept in the house probably when others were not. It was kept close to the owners. It was kept close to the importance of being that sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice. He needed to being taken care of by Mary and Joseph. We just spoke about that just within the last week, his earthly family. But as the Lamb of God, God took care of him. When you really wonder, when you hear the stories in the Bible about Jesus being such a young person, leaving his earthly mom and dad, his father was taking care of him. His father was watching his manners and his behavior all the time, just like he does us. Amen? He never matured to reproduce. Puppies and kittens can't make puppies and kittens. Dogs and cats make puppies and kittens. Lambs do not make lambs. Sheep make lambs. Jesus never married. Jesus never had children. He was always that special lamb, that special person. According to scriptures, he lived 33 and a half years with the Father taking care of him without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Because who he was and how he was and his mannerisms, he was probably very well hated by others. Oh, you're so special, and yet you're not married. Those of us that do study and do encourage others, marriage is not for everybody. It took me 40 years to figure that out, and not because I married the wrong rib. It was because I've been around people that can't do marriage. Marriage is not for everyone. If you're not married, it's okay. I have a niece that we worried about forever that would get married because she was a lady. It does appear that the ladies get a little bit harder than the men when it comes to marriage. If you're 20-something years old and you're not married or not looking for marriage, especially in the apostolic church, something might be wrong with you. That's how the pretense is, and it's not fair. It's okay, ladies, say amen. It's not for everyone. Jesus, as a man, made it 33 and a half years unmarried. Just think when he went into the synagogues, what people thought. According to scripture, again, he was not very pretty or very handsome. Isaiah says that. Well, he's probably the average-looking man. No gigolo at all. When he approached people as the Lamb of God. His own would not receive him because he was the Lamb of God. His own could not understand. How could he do such marvelous things and he doesn't even know things of the world like we do? Do you judge people like that? I do. I mean, who's he to tell me what's going on? He don't know. Why, Sister McGuire? What you going to tell me how to raise a family you're not even married? We do that all the time. But as a chosen sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, Jesus portrayed these things to us. He's probably always beautiful, as that first picture showed to everybody. Couldn't always be accepted, but probably was very beautiful. How many of y'all ever seen an ugly lamb? Go to petting zoo, they're not ugly, they're adorable. Let me have it, let me take it home, let me bring it. I don't know how many lambs and goats I dodged that's like the only creature we didn't have at the house because they eat everything that you want to keep. Amen? Let's talk about shepherds a little bit in the sheep's life. That's an aerial photo of a huge herd. I don't know how well you can make it out on the screen behind me, but in the front, if you were to see just a little bit clearer, that straight line in that herd is a fence line. And those sheep are going through a gate at the bottom of the picture. Now, if that would be a church, it might be a mega church, looking at all them sheep in there. But it could represent lots of things. Reason I enjoyed the photo, as a pastor, as a shepherd, pastors have to put up fence. Because we're sheep. They have to put up fence. If we want to be sheep and prosper, we need leadership. We need direction. We need fence. We need fence posts. I remember when I first moved here, I had a conversation with Pastor, and we were discussing some things that I seen in Georgia, and he said, yeah, brother, all they had left was the fence posts. But somebody let the fence wire fall down, and the fence rails fall down, and sometimes in some churches, all you see left is the posts. People don't know which side to be on no more. But they have a post. That post's been there a long time. Let's just stay by the post. Don't know which side to be on, but the post is a good thing. But a genuine shepherd, if he's working his sheep, he has a fence line. Just muster up, just for a little bit, the nature of sheep like to herd, like to be close. As we go through this fasting month, we're going to be just about like that. As Pastor takes us to another step, because once we fast for a month, I promise you, you're going to feel different. It's going to be different. Church is going to be different. We're expecting a lot after this fast. Those of you that are going to put a lot into it are going to expect a lot out of it. But to go through a narrow place as a herd, we don't just knock the gate down and tear the fence apart. A good shepherd wouldn't let us do that anyway. But as a good herd and as a well-groomed congregation, we'll take our turn going through the gate. It's going to be great on the other side of the fence, otherwise the pastor wouldn't take us there. Sheep eat all day and eat low to the ground. If he wouldn't move us from pasture to pasture, we'd eat all this ground up, and then what are we going to do? We don't eat each other. We don't have fangs. They don't turn on each other. We just sit there and die. Have you ever seen a herd in a desert? No, I wouldn't want to be with the pastor that takes me out into the dry lands. According to Scripture, he lays me down near the still waters in the green pastures. Amen? Amen. Pastoring is probably a very difficult job. I assist Brother McGuire. I have feelings for that role very much. I've been asked, why don't you pastor? Well, I'm not pastor material now. If I was pastor, probably on 30, y'all would be gone already. Today. I don't know. It's got to be tough. You got to be it's a special person to be a leader. Amen? It takes you, I wouldn't know what it'd be like losing sleep over everybody. I know what it's like losing sleep over some of you guys. But being the leader, a good pastor's watching all the flock all the time. That's pretty tough. How many knuckleheads at your job? Raise your hand. Are you the knucklehead? Keep your hand up. Brother Kane got both hands up. Just think if you were the knucklehead in the flock. We're going to talk about you in just a minute. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Little David was a shepherd. He had a few things that we didn't show in this illustration, but he had a rocks and a sling. Just in case something was coming from a distance, he had a chance to run them off. But when it got close, that pastor, that leader, that shepherd had a rod and a staff. Now the rod, as you can see, was a stick, a bat, a behavior tool. It was for that big bad wolf to have a blow on the head. Not to turn on the sheep and go, whack. It was for the enemy. It was for those that was causing commotion. It was those that was bringing in the ruckus to the flock. When sheep don't feel comfortable at night, the night predators are moving in. Lots of leaders probably don't get much sleep at night with us calling them in and waking them up. There's a boogeyman in my window, pastor. What should I do? Turn off the horror movie for starters. Call me back after you pray that thing off. We need help. We need guidance. We can't see very well. One of the depth perceptions that we have as human beings, sheep don't have good depth perceptions. That's why they don't like shadows. They also, because of depth perceptions, don't like dips in the road. They don't do well. The herd will stop when it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. How many of y'all just like to come to church and it'll be nice and level all the time? Amen? And that's a beautiful thing. It's natural to us if we take on the nature of a sheep because we don't like all of this. If you've ever been in another church or not knocking other churches, but when other churches get rough and there's dips and dives in the road, people get really uncomfortable. Yak, 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 yak. You know we can hear very well. Yak, 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 yak. Amongst ourselves. As the flock grows, the job of being a pastor grows with it. Amen. When the shepherd gets comfortable with his flock, he can lead the flock. When we go to the book of James, I'm going to read in just a little bit, chapter 15. I want to kick off and get your attention first. But when a pastor is comfortable with a flock, and I would say this is quite obvious, I'm sure when the pastor had a small group, it was easy, yet it was difficult. But it was probably easier to watch the sheep when you didn't have so many sheep to watch. As I've said before, sometimes we used to all be up here, and pastor, we would be singing and worshiping, and pastor would be going real slow. And I asked him one day, what are you doing? It's an awesome service going on. And he goes, so-and-so's not here. They didn't call. Now, he didn't need to say any more than that. I knew what he was thinking. I didn't want to know why. He probably had more details than I did. Such and such is not here. They're alone. Sheep check one, sheep check two, sheep check three. And the whole while, us as a flock, passes. No worship out of them sheep. They must have not slept last night in the dark. Wonder what I could do to help them, says the shepherd. Okay, he's not the slaughterhouse. He's the shepherd. Wonder what I could do to help them. With his rod and his staff, we can be gently handled. Amen. When you see the rod is not for you. Is that okay? Okay. When you see the rod, especially if you see the rod from the pulpit, the rod is not for you. Don't go, ho. You get the rod out. It's not for us. Not for the sheep. I had a family member. He's no longer with us anymore. Alex, my brother-in-law, was heavily handled by his mom when he was a kid. He was a grown man, 30-something-year-old man. And his mom walked in the kitchen, and she raised her hand real quick, and he jumped. I'm like, what are you doing? Told me later, his mom used to pop him upside his head when he wasn't right, and he thought he had done something wrong. Well trained. Even when he was grown. Automatic dodge. When we hear and see rod from the pulpit, please remember it is not for sheep. If we have a wolf among us, if we have somebody that needs to be corrected that's not supposed to be among us, if he is preaching doom and gloom, the rod is to save you, not to beat you. Now, however, that staff thing, that soft, gentle hook, is led for direction, you know. Come on. Rod. Come on. Come on. Put it around the neck, maybe, unless you're a little hard-headed most. In the side, come on, come on. Oh, okay, we're going this way. I would think maybe some of us hard-headed sheep, you turn the hook the other way and it can be a little rod. Come on, knucklehead. Just in case. But it's not the rod, it's the staff. The staff can also be used from a distance away. Doesn't have to get up close to you. Pull you right back into the fold. How many of y'all have ever seen documentaries and all of herding sheep and the dude with the big stick and the hook? For a purpose. Gentle purpose. Maybe, just maybe, some of us need a good.
Every once in a while.
Doesn't hurt. Not the rod. Wasn't across the head. You know, by design, we probably got enough wool on us to take a little jerk every once in a while. In chapter 15, we read a parable, 15:1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto him, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after which was lost until he find it? Now, when I first highlighted this, it was which was lost years and years ago. I write in my book all the time. Years and years ago. That's what stuck out to me in that scripture. But what sticks out to me today is the shepherd didn't stop till he found it. Scripture. Till he found it. Not because he went looking for it, not because it was lost. The shepherd went out until he found it. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders. That's a job right there. If you're a big sheep, that's a job. Why you say that, Brother Keith? A girl sheep can weigh over 100 pounds. If you're a lost ram, you might go 150. Pick him up, put him on his shoulders, and carry him, and rejoiced about it. Now, we have a few deer hunters, and, of course, you know, Florida deer might do 100-plus all the time. But how many of y'all enjoy dragging deers out of the wood? No, that's why we got four-wheelers now. In that picture, the shepherd didn't have a four-wheeler. He had to carry him back, like Scripture says. Amen. He comes back rejoicing, and when he comes home, he calls all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I found the lost sheep. That's the job of the leader. Now, I was tickling myself studying. When a pastor finds a lost sheep, he might call other pastors too. Yay, I found my lost sheep. Y'all ain't going to believe it's attacking my flock, scattered my sheep, and I went out and found my lost sheep. Some of y'all's sheep were there too. Maybe you ought to go because they won't follow me. Think about that for a while. Sometimes we see our young and our old alike. The world pulls them out into places, and you would think it's not appropriate for a shepherd to go find him, but a good shepherd will go find him. Amen? Now, I wouldn't think much of our pastor coming out of a liquor store because he wouldn't be coming out with a bottle of liquor. He might be coming out with one of us. I wouldn't be shocked to find this brother and sister McGuire coming out of a nightclub because he probably may be coming out with one of us. Come on, with the hook around that. Just teasing. I know we got a great class today. But would you be surprised? Would you be so judgmental if you really found a good leader? Someone that really cared about you that would go into the highways and byways and get you out. We discussed a little bit in youth what it takes to be a lost sheep. And again, like I said, I'm just talking about a sheep's life, not being lost. But when we're being led and we're moving around and things are getting to be not the same, how many of y'all like change? Thought I'd slip that in there. Maybe, even though we like to change the room, furniture around and all, nobody wants to move. I think I'm going to move myself on this side of the room. Some people don't even like that. How about move your house today? Just think about that just for a little bit. Move your house. We're going to pick up and go to another pasture. Whoo! Just think about the person that has to orchestrate that and lead that, much less us have to change. Shepherd knows his sheep and he works them. Sheep by natural defense herd. Of course, now not the, those of us that were, I guess, say 50 and older when we watched Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom. Now you can watch the Discovery Channels. I'll age myself. Sheep like the herd. It's natural for us to be together and want to be together. Amen. Feel of God, you're going to want to go back to church. Period. No matter who's there, because it's the other sheep and the pastor's there. In herding, the lambs and the weak usually are all over the place. But when times of trouble comes on, sheep get together. Amen. Sheep get together. It's going to be close. It's going to be tight. This month, as we come upon this fast, you're going to probably find yourself getting closer and tighter just because. Just because you probably, if you're going to really try hard, you're going to be here praying every night. You're going to even feel, if you can't hear the other's prayer, you're going to feel the prayer. We're going to have nights this month of January where we're going to be have real Holy Ghost-filled nights, and some nights it's going to be crickets chirping. As a group, it's just like that. It can't always be all high and all low. We'll all be mixed in together. We'll all be going through good times and bad times. We'll always be bringing new people into the church, the lambs. We'll have our own babies that we're born and raised here, and there are lambs that don't know. We need to get together, stay together, keep together. A good shepherd works that. Not everybody is always the same people always up front. Amen? It just seems there's a time and place. It looks like that, but give it a while. You're going to get your turn. You're going to be in the front. If you're too small right now, too young right now, too inexperienced right now for the pastor to put you in the front, that's fine. Because he also needs strong in the back. He also needs strong on the side, on both sides, so we can protect the lambs and the babies and the weak in the middle. Amen? Is that all right? Last but not least, the sheep themselves, us the saints. Sheep produce sheep. Look at that beautiful sheep. None of us looked like that when we got dressed this morning. But that's what God sees. Amen? No matter how big and rough and tough you thought you were on the way here, that's what you look like in the eyes of God today if you're a sheep. Funny part is that's what you probably look like to our leader too. But a nice, happy sheep, that's probably a good-looking sheep for today. Amen? Sheep produce sheep. I'm not saying the leadership shouldn't go out and win the congregation, okay? But sheep produce sheep, pastors produce pastors. Leaders produce leaders. Doesn't make anybody any bigger, any better. It's types and shadows, because God has no respect to person. Pastor McGuire can't go his whole life without winning somebody to God. Don't get that wrong. Just when we're in the organization, when we're in the church, when we're assembly, sheep make sheep. We have them at home. I had four of mine at home. We have them in the hospital. If we bore our sheep together and had lambs. And we're also out there winning souls. There are a few people in here now that were not part of the family in this church. And they came in here and got filled in with the Holy Ghost, and now they are. I remember that they hardly brought Brandon to church. And Brother Crown and I were standing up in the old building. Excuse me, because I get excited. Because God has allowed me to be a leader now, and I can see. Shepherds can see. Brandon and Harley walk in, bunch of knuckleheads from high school, and sat in the front of church. In church service, the music was good as normal. And we had a great church service. And I elbowed Brother Crown. I said, look at that old tall boy over there. Brandon stood out like, probably like Saul did over us, you know, like he came from another country. 7 foot tall, and everybody else in the front row, some little kids. And the Holy Ghost, remember that, Brother Crown? Brother Crown hit me back. Look, there it is. Brandon got the Holy Ghost standing in here. He wasn't in the altar. Hardly told him about God. And he's still with us. But guess what? No pun, Brandon, because we took you in as my own. But he has no family in here. His mama's not in here yet. We've seen his sister sit over here a couple of times, getting close, by the grace of God. But as we work together as family units, we don't know what's coming in the doors. But the shepherd does. And the shepherd's praying, and the shepherd's seeking. And if you're a greeter, you know first. Ooh, pastor, we got one. Needs to be out. A wolf is trying to get in here. You know what it's like when we have visitors that don't fit in well. How many of y'all were at the church service where Brother Campitella came back and brought the Jean-Baptiste family, brought the visitor in? Definitely a demoniac. Everybody knew as soon as they saw. It didn't take a whole lot to discern that. But in amongst us as sheep, we must stand together and be strong together. Amen? We always will have weak ones with us. The scriptural. We'll all have our turn being the weak one in the congregation. Once upon a time when I was a young person, and I'm not so young anymore and I don't get around so fast. Y'all come over here, it's cold. Get up next to me, I'm cold. Can you not move so fast as a herd? Don't separate too much. The babies and the older can't keep up. That's herding techniques. It's good shepherds let that happen together. And, of course, the sheep know that as well. We should always want to have lambs in our congregation. Our congregation is going to dry up. So if you're married, don't have a baby yet, we're counting on you. Let that sink in just a little bit. If you only have one or two, get one or two more. God will take care. As I close in 2017, as I was preparing the lesson for today, I get to teach the first Sunday school in New Year's. Let's have each other's back this year. Amen? That blindness, that peripheral blindness I spoke about earlier when I read it, it's why a sheep needs to be sheared every once in a while. Because they're so full of themselves, fur gets that far out, the peripheral vision's no good, and they're blind in their own self. Now, if we're a good congregation, we'll probably all get sheared together. If somebody needs to be sheared and we ain't all getting sheared together, don't make fun of him or her because they come in all skinny and poor looking. They can see a whole lot better than they did before the shearing. Everybody with me? They can actually see behind them now and watch their own back. Let's move together so everyone can be blessed. Let's realize that we're all a part of a flock. That's the kingdom of God. Let's look out for the weak and look out for the lambs. Let's keep a watch over your own back at times, too. Use your sense of smell. If something's bothering you, be alert about it. Use your hard head for the church and not against it. If you want a buck and kick, something that's our enemy. Don't buck and kick each other here in the church. Amen? Follow the leadership even when you don't understand it. How many of y'all ever been in a big crowd and the crowd's moving and you go, hey, what's going on? And you're just part of the crowd. And you could be led to safely. It's not always a bad thing. Just because you don't understand yet, but Keith, I'm not feeling the Pentecostal thing. I'm not feeling the apostolic way. I don't, you know. No, I don't know because I'm a sheep too. It's amazing. I wish I really knew what God was going to do in service today. I don't see it yet. Do you, Pastor, you got a kind of a clue yet? I don't know. So we're going to take communion, and we don't know what's going to happen in here. Communion is an awesome thing. All churches can take communion. It's one of the practices that most churches do. Everybody can partake in it. Who knows what's going to happen in here today? Somebody can get the Holy Ghost in here before we leave. Amen? Follow leadership when you don't understand. Run back to the flock when you think you're getting out a little far away. Run back. Don't walk back. Don't hippity hop back. Don't. One of them sheep things. I mean, run. Let's get back. Stay together. Amen? Rejoice this year when the lost are returned. When pastor brings somebody back, when you see, maybe we might see some old-timey faces come back in here, rejoice. And it don't have to be from somebody a long time ago. It can be somebody in the sound of my voice that's not with the group. It just looks like it. Amen? Let's rejoice. Try not to fight alone. Our powers are in numbers. Don't think you could do it by yourself. Remember that cute little sheep? That's you. No fangs, no horns, no claws. Amen? You're sheep. Beware of the world. Beware of the world this year. The world's changing and it's forever going faster and faster and faster and faster. Amen? You good, Sister Jessica? Let's not do this year.